You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are discussing Serie A a little bit. Not good things. We're talking about Lazio and some of the ridiculous and absolutely insane comments coming from their president.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Aaron West about everything from CBS, Champions League, some of his old gigs, and why he treats fantasy and Ultimate Team the same way some people treat dating apps. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Yes. Look, I'm just adding to the compilation.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Yup, yup. And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever witnessed.
And it's also the gulliest. I'm just trying to match your increase in pitch. I'm not sure what happened there.
a lot to talk about today. We're excited about our guest today because it is going to be Aaron West,
the homie of
Champions League on CBS, of La Liga, on our contact list on our phones,
Of our hearts.
So we're excited to talk about him. We're talking about him to his face.
We respect
him. Say it to my face. I'm like, yeah, cool. All right, we're doing
it.
That's
what I'm doing. So you can stop asking so aggressively. In fact, I'm meaning to talk to you about this.
Let's start today with some controversy, some drama.
You know how we start. We spill some tea, baby.
Okay. And we start with Serie A, right? And when it seems, look, we don't talk about Serie A that much, but whenever we do, it's always something bad.
If we're bringing it up, it's probably not good, you know? We're never let's talk about Serie A today. We're like, bro, we got to talk about Serie A today. That's how we do it.
Because it's gotten past the point where it's getting too bad. It has to be addressed. We're not talking about Serie A as much as we are addressing Serie A today, right? Yeah. So that is, the news out of Lazio, right?
There's so many things when we say Lazio that you're probably thinking what could have gone wrong, right? Is it the fans again?
No, but it's COVID related. And this is, I didn't expect to see this. Maybe that's just me being naive. I didn't think anybody would really try to game the system with this highly contagious, deadly disease.
It feels like an idea I had, right?
Did they reach out to Alexis to really try to get around the rules?
Because what happened is Lazio gets into Champions League. Hey, that's wonderful, right? Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So Champions League has its own protocol, own rules, right? So they test for COVID, right? But Lazio back in Serie A is like, you'll handle that, right? And they're like, bro, I got you. You know? That's like when your girl's like, yo, did you pay that electricity bill? Absolutely. The reason we have no lights must be a mistake elsewhere. I'll just go take care of that real quick.
I can't see you. I don't know where
I feel like you're angry just based on your tone. You know what I mean? But I can't really see it. They faked COVID negative tests in Serie A. And the reason they got caught is because Champions League is like, we got our own guy. And they're like, no. Use our guy.
This is not only, we can laugh about it a little bit, but it's obviously very, very serious. This is
wildly
ridiculous.
Dangerous.
Very dangerous. You're putting a lot of people in danger. They tested positive in Champions League, tested negative in Serie A.
And the thing is, they let the players who tested positive play in Serie A.
Yeah.
While they were still positive by pretending they were fake. Now, when you have an issue, who do you go? You go to the top, right? You want some common sense. You go to the president, right? And Lazio's president.
Not our president. Okay?
No. Well, I mean, actually, pretty similar to our current. The Lazio's president's name is Claudio Lotito, which translated to English is Rudy Giuliani.
Okay, yeah, I kind I see it. I hear it.
Right? So clearly from the same lineage in the Italians there. So for Rudy, he says, I told you it's like a magic trick. What even is positive? Bro. Okay. All right. I'm listening. Right? What is positive? No one knows.
Okay. This is how you know you're about to hear a lie and it's just really, you're just compounding on it.
That's the finesse beginning, right? And then he said, positive means contagious, right? Everyone agrees. Yes. Mm. That's how you draw them in with a couple of easy yeses.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's then like you say, there are bacteria in the vaginas of all women in the world. That doesn't mean that they're pathogens. Only in some cases do they become pathogens and degenerate.
Yeah. This is called gaslighting, right? Yeah. This is how you start bringing up other things and you can be like, well, clearly you hate women if you are suggesting that they are all diseased. Wow.
Should we not let women around because they're positive of having, which again, we don't even know what positive it means. So again, right, we're just saying this is the most that you are a president of an organization.
Yeah there's obviously people who are looking to you for some sort of reason and like or simply accountability.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
why did this happen? And yeah, so you hear these quotes and they're real quotes. The fact that you, well, as soon as you're seeing stuff like that, you're like, oh, they've been lying probably for months about this whole thing.
You're big guilty, huh? Damn. Okay. Yeah. Hey, CEO of Chevy, your cars are exploding. Hey, sometimes women's vaginas explode when they're having babies. Yeah. You know? Makes no sense.
Wow. Okay. So the criminality is actually at a level I really didn't expect. But wow. Honest,
everything needs to be recalled, not just your cars. Don't forget, we got Aaron West coming up, CBS, All Access, CBS Digital, CBS's Lunchroom. He's everywhere, dude. Dude's filling up his coffee. He's got a lot of work to do. He's been hired by a lot of organizations within CBS. So we talk about some serious things from time to time, you know, and obviously when it comes to things that involve especially women in this sport and anyone, minorities in sport, obviously it's very near and dear to our hearts, and a big investigation has just been completed.
That's right. The news, and some people may have seen this a couple weeks ago, the NYCFC, there was an accusation from a former intern about sexual harassment and verbal abuse.
And misconduct in general.
Yes. And, you know, and David Villa was you know, the figure mentioned and named in the accusation. And it was obviously a shock. Right, a lot of people when they hear the name David Villa, it is a legendary figure in not just NYCFC
in Spain.
So when you hear this, everybody was like really taken aback because they never really thought or heard of David Villa acting in any way that was inappropriate. But the investigation has been completed. NYCFC interviewed. Based on the statement, about 40 people, plenty of women in the organization, and it seems that the allegations were true.
They found it to be true, yeah. And they actually went above and beyond, and they even said that they found other people were involved. It wasn't just David Villa. And there's one person in particular who still works at the organization from that time, who has also been disciplined. So, you know. Look, I mean, when something like this happens, I think all of us were sort of sitting back and waiting and saying, let's see how serious it's taken. And I'm glad to see that it was taken serious. And hopefully this gives an opportunity to women that are going to be a part of the game in the future, especially at clubs like NYCFC or other clubs across MLS in America. Especially here, we take these things serious and they should not be happening and don't happen in the future.
Yeah, I think, and that's an important thing to highlight, that of how common, not just in sports. I mean, you know, women have to deal with a lot of... people in general, but there is like there is harassment. There is a thing about conduct has to be really taken into. It has to be put there has to be accountability. There has to be a lot of thought into how you treat your peers and you know, bullying an intern and all this other stuff. Like sometimes people don't think of whether you're a absolutely famous figure or not. Like, there has to be that decency, and that empathy of like, yeah, this person could be an intern, but I care about their feelings, and that I'm not just here to sort of tease them to the point of like mental abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look, it is. I'm glad to hear that at the very least that there was an investigation, there was some answers, and we'll sort of see what happens with sort of the future for David Villa for that level of accountability. You know, I think we're still waiting to kind of maybe hear a statement on his part. He does have a team that he is building in Queensboro, so there has to be you know, I think some. We want to see that accountability. So yeah. I'm hoping that goes forward. All right. We have more coming up right after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Gully Squad out in full force.
That's right. Out. I mean, you mean in full force. We are staying inside.
We are outdoors spreading this disease.
That's what we do, Gully Squad. We cough in everyone's mouths,
but we're spreading gulliness, all right? None of that COVID nonsense.
Nah, dude. We're spreading COVID 69.
Okay. That's the fun one.
Yeah, dude. You didn't think you'd want it in the beginning, but when you get it, you're like, you know what? It's kind of fun.
So, yes, shout out to Gully Squad. And, for people who help support the show, help us put out more content. We've been doing a lot more stuff, especially on live streaming. They've been a part of it as well. We've been doing stuff on Twitch. It's been really, really fun. Even though, we're stuck at home, we can still do some fun stuff and give, you know, whether it's exclusive content, a dope Slack channel. We're still putting out great work, and that's all because of Gully Squad.
Absolutely, and they support us, and we want to make sure that that's we give them back some cool content, and also we want to make sure we find other people that want to come hang out in the Slack channel, because so far it is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. So if you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It's right there on the menu. It's at the top. It is at the bottom. Very visible, easy to find. And it's a great community. And there's also great perks, obviously. The Gully Squad was invited to our birthday party. And how lit was that? I mean, they got to hang out with... Who are some of the folks they got to hang out with, Alexis?
I mean, it was a wild time that I'm kind of forgetting that because I drank so heavily. But we had Sal Volcano of the Impractical Jokers come through.
That's right.
Okay? The Impractical Jokers.
We had Alexi Lalas come through, who some say is a kind of a clown. Right.
Yeah. See, he's a less practical joker. He also serenaded us right with a guitar. Ellie Menjem of Derby Days and Copa 90 fame. Zach Valentin, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle. Yes. I mean,
everybody was there. It was super, super fun. So those are some of the cool perks that come with being in Gully Squad, and we try to give everybody a really fun and unique experience that you may not be able to get everywhere else. If you're just a casual soccer fan, so feel free to join. You can subscribe at whatever level and whatever you want to give every month, and there's different perks for the different levels as well. So make sure go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and come aboard.
Toot toot. Hi, baby, and we're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and our guest is almost here. This is exciting. This is like when we said, well, we have you as a guest. Okay, we start to go through your family tree, my G. Okay, we have everybody on.
Okay, this interview is going to be sponsored by Ancestry.com.
It's 23 of this person's family and us is the name of the website we used. When we had Yael and Gloria Averbush on, right, we talked glowingly about this human being, all right, because not only is he someone that we absolutely love to see his content, but he's also a friend, all right? We've hung out with this gentleman, all right? Mm-hmm. We had him on our show as the third cooligan for the entire episode.
That's right. Yeah, he watched me get nutmegged by Aleko Eskandarian, you know?
Also, I heard his laughter from all the way from Pier 40, where I was standing, when it happened. And in the videos afterwards, no one looked happier that you guys. It's almost as if I was there. Okay. So sometimes he's been my proxy, you know? Now, if you're wondering who am I talking about, just picture every time Champions League moves to a different channel, he is the carry-on luggage that goes along with it. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, and if you are, pull over and put your hands together for the one, the only, the he ain't going nowhere. He is a part of Champions League forever. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron West.
Aaron, what's up, man?
What is going on? I've never been described as carry-on luggage and it not be disrespectful. Like,
you want to be, you're in a Louis Vuitton, you know, suitcase. Right?
It's a very nice one.
I feel like a Gucci bag right now. Wow.
With the battery.
Oh,
you gotta take
man.
Out.
Yeah. I can charge my laptop for days, baby. Let's go.
Aaron, look, obviously we're homies. It's an honor to have you on the television show. Finally. Yes, we, it's strange to be like, yeah, we had, your mother-in-law before we had you on. So you know, it happened just the way it worked out. But Aaron, you obviously you are a man who is currently blessed with a new daughter. Yes. You are booked. You are busy. There is nothing, you know, for Alexis and I, there's nothing better than seeing our friends thrive. Let's start with fatherhood, bruh. It's very new. How old is your daughter now? It's been a month, maybe?
She's just over a month, man. It's incredible, man. Like, I personally love kids. Like, I've always loved kids. Like, I'm a preacher's kid. And, like, growing up, it was always like, oh, there's some new kids in the church. Send them to Aaron. He'll take care of them. And I've always, like, babysat. So I've, like, always wanted kids. And I finally got one of my own. And, like, she spit up on me twice earlier today. And I was just like, ah, that's my baby. That's crazy.
Not on the throwback kit.
No. We don't hold the baby when we're wearing nice jerseys. I'm a smart man. We don't hold the baby when we're wearing nice things. But no, it's been amazing, man. Like, it's so dope. She, like, looks at me and smiles, and I'm like, all right, cool. What do you want me to do? I got you. Yeah, you want me to kill a man? Whatever. I got you. Yeah, I'll do it.
Dude, you're gonna be the easiest dad to a teenage daughter.
Oh my god!
It's like, no, you can't borrow the car. Big smile, be like, you know what? Let's go get you a car.
You suck. You need two cars.
You borrow the car? What happens if you need it when I'm not around? That's why you are. Come on.
Yeah. The other thing, obviously, is the news. You know, obviously, you were covering Champions League with Bleacher Report, and now you are doing that with CBS Sports. What is this? The introduction video was great. The introduction graphic. I mean, CBS really they got the graphics department.
I was like, is he playing creative attacking midfield?
I do have to clarify this one. So CBS didn't put the graphic out. That was actually my agency, CSE, which has similar like letters. Everyone was like, damn, they really didn't put out like a signing graphic for you. And I was like,
yeah, okay, dude. That's great, yeah, too. That's even whatever. Better probably, you know, that the agency is looking out.
Everyone was like, yo, who are you roasting in that picture? Like, yeah, fire it up.
It looks like the photo you use when, like, a tech startup genius is about to come on stage at some, you know, tech conference. It's like, you know, they're like, I gotta listen to this guy.
No, but the great thing was, obviously, you already did a bunch of great work covering the different Champions League games, like traveling all over Europe. What was
Which you can't really do anymore.
I know, right? Obviously, the nature of your work might be a little bit different, might be the same. I don't know. But what are you sort of looking forward to as far as the this time around and covering Champions League for this season?
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to, like, just kind of how comprehensive it is at CBS. For Bleacher, I was literally just covering. I was doing the show out here. I loved doing that show. It was great. We did a lot of great content. But for CBS, it's a little bit more comprehensive for me. Like, I'm working with CBS HQ. I'm working with the digital team. I'll be working with TV. I'll be working with the podcast team. Like, so kind of across the board with CBS and, like, more fully involved. And just kind of, I get to tell these stories in different ways. Whereas with Bleacher, it was just the out here show that, like, went to digital and got dropped into the main show. Now I'll be able to if I want to sit down with a player or if I want to do a short interview, I can cover these things in a whole different way and like way more in depth. And especially now I'm excited about that because like, obviously things are changed. We're doing this show from our living room. I'm not like sitting in the studio with you guys. But now
you're not in the middle of a civil war in Greece, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, man.
You don't got to do all that either.
I'm not about to get pieced up by some Greek thugs. So that's nice. But yeah, it's just a little bit different. I will be doing a lot of the same things I did at Bleacher. So like those same kind of feature stories that like flesh out clubs and flesh out players and culture and things like that, I'll still be doing. But just even more well-rounded, like fully fleshed out, even more content, basically. You're going to see a lot more from me, which I'm excited about.
When you look at what you've had to offer now, we've known you from way back from when you were just doing stuff on YouTube to now. And one of the things that I think stands out about you is you have a very unique voice. And that's how you ask questions through your vision. And you ask questions that are important when it comes to culture and stuff, to stuff that you recognize. And you see, how do you see that progressing into something like CBS, which, you know, for the most part, when it comes to sports, they're very traditional.
That's one of the big things I'm really, really excited about. Bleacher was really like, they pushed the boundaries a lot and kind of stepping out of the traditional. And working with CBS, they are known for doing the traditional very well. But working directly with Pete Radovich, he's won like 30 something Emmys, and he loves to do things outside of the box. Like, it was his idea for me to come on live with the baby. He like loves to just try things that might not be the typical linear television thing. So what, like, I'm excited to get that like knowledge base of working with a more traditional company, but also like, I do have the freedom. Yeah. Like when they hired me, they were like, we hired you because you're you. Like, so I'm excited to be able to still be me, but just learn more.
Yeah, you can do post-game interviews and talk about pistol whipping. Not many people can offer that. Yeah. So I'm glad CBS recognized that and bringing that on board.
That screen cap has been used so many times. It's wonderful.
We are with Aaron West of La Liga, of Champions League on CBS Sports.
Anything with the word league attached to it, he's getting a paycheck.
No, I did. I want to talk a little bit about La Liga as well, because you've been covering and doing a show for them as well. You and Kevin Egan, also the homie, the yep. Irish homie. The, yep. Right. So the he loves it when we call him that. Literally the first time I've ever called him
he
that.
He Googles it every time.
But, you know, we talk about La Liga. You know, sometimes I feel like we don't talk about La Liga enough. And right. And we definitely gone to like events and been a part of like different like installations at different events and things like that. But the I was and not to be overly critical, but like sometimes people, when they think of La Liga, they think of Messi, right? They think of Barcelona, they think of Real Madrid. Yeah. And I love your show because at least we get to hear a bit more and in more detail about the other clubs and the other teams.
Right.
You know, Barcelona, Real Madrid are not in first place right now, but you wouldn't even really sort of know that because right. That's people's focus on those two teams. So what has that been like kind of getting into a bit more depth about La Liga and learning more about it?
It's been dope. I've been a La Liga fan for a really, really long time. Like, it's one of the first leagues I started watching. It's a league that, like, regularly, I even before working with them, I just, like, always watch La Liga. I'm just a soccer nerd in general. I try to watch as much as possible. But I've always just appreciated La Liga because as a league as a whole, like, I don't think there's a more technical league they're out there. Like, they're just the individual sure. quality of these players on a regular basis. It's like, it's insane. So for me to be able to work with La Liga was really exciting. It's like, it was dope for me because I'm pretty sure I'm like the first Black host they've ever had. But I was sitting there, I was like, feels good. I'm not gonna lie, this one feels good.
Yeah. For Spain, I not really a shock though.
Not a shock. But I was excited to work with him just because I actually enjoy the league just as a whole, like not just like toeing the party line, like, oh, I love this league because I work for them, but I actually like enjoy watching the game. So for me, it's dope to be able to like flesh it out a little bit more for people who don't watch it regularly. And all they think of is, like you said, it's Messi, Barcelona, before it was Cristiano, Real Madrid. Like, there are a lot of really talented players. Like the play on a regular basis is really, really sexy. I'm not going to lie. So it's been a lot of fun for me to like, not just like do what I normally do and watch La Liga, but like have a reason to watch teams that I might not normally watch and get explore more players in that way. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like to focus on La Liga has the outside of Dominican Republic has the highest concentration of Dominicans that play soccer. So right. I'm like,
which is can be counted on one hand. I don't want anyone to think
there's not that many. But
for I'm those of you who don't focus on La Liga, it's not an onslaught of Mariano Dominican
and who else do we have? We got Mariano.
Firpo Junior, Firpo at Barcelona. Those are like the huge ones. There's a couple other
because he's Spanish nationality, but he is. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was born in see, that's the thing. Like Mariano was born in Spain.
This whole show is going to be about this now.
Dominican parents, right?
Then after the next break, he's going to be wrapped in a flag.
I get upset. Firpo was born in DR, but doesn't want to represent Dominican Republic. I understand. If you have the
neither
choice
would
between
you.
Spain.
Neither would you, Christian.
I'm just saying, bro.
That reminds me of when people were mad at like Giuseppe Rossi for getting called up to Italy and being like, yeah, I'll go. Everyone's like, he's a traitor.
I'm still upset. Like, I'm still upset Giuseppe Rossi did not play for Dominican Republic. I really wish he would have done that.
Giuseppe, turn down traitor. That call up.
You traitor. You're dead to me. Yeah. You're dead to me, Giuseppe.
I was big mad with the whole Giuseppe Rossi thing, but if you ask me, like, yo, you want to go play a game in Milan or in Columbus, Ohio, I'd be like, nah, you know what? I might need a minute to make this decision.
Let me at least talk to Nana.
Pizza
let me
like
talk
in
to
Columbus.
Nana, see what she thinks.
Right. You know, an espresso or a Dunkin' Donuts. I think I might go espresso. You know? Yeah. When you look at what's happening in the world and, you know, we're hearing news about possible vaccines and stuff, is there a plan for you to hopefully travel to some of these matches in Europe? Some of the content that you did, even when you were at Bleacher, was so incredible because you really got that – you like a true behind the scenes. It's not like a sort of a pared down or a sterilized behind the scenes of like, no, the players all sit on these couches and allow us to interview them all the time. Like you actually got on the bus with Shakhtar and you were doing all these wonderful things. Like, is that the goal for you to be able to do those things again?
Yeah. So for now, obviously things are a little bit different because of COVID. And that's one of the good things about the flexibility I have. Like with my last gig, like I was just sidelined because I wasn't able to do anything unless I was overseas interviewing people. Now I'm able to contribute digitally. I'm able to do interviews, things like that. But the plan is like for the next couple months, I'll be here staying safe. But when the new year rolls around, I should be hopefully we'll see some numbers start to go down, but by the new year is when I'm hopefully planning to start getting over to Europe, getting those interviews, like getting embedded with, actually just literally right before this call, I had a production meeting. So we're talking about some of those things. I'm excited about the new year. It's been good though, cause it's just an intelligent process so far with CBS. Everything has been very out in the open. We understand that COVID has changed everything, but it's flexible. So it's been good to be part of this process so far and just jump right in with both feet.
Well, I'm glad I'm glad that we have, a new administration, hopefully coming in office to get this stuff over soon that we can, we can get Aaron doing his job comfortably and being able to travel.
Obviously we're here with Aaron West of CBS Sports, covering all the dope Champions League stuff. Now,
also being married to Yael Averbush,
which is, I mean, top, right? That's top true. Of the list of
I don't know, I see a Techni shirt behind you, Christian. You couldn't even put one up. Yo, wow.
Honestly, the disrespect, like, we asked him to do it.
Wildly disrespectful. Wow, I know y'all. I think I saw a message floating around that you were going to ask him to do it, but he just refused.
I mean, you know, sometimes Christian is just I'm
going to tell my wife about that. I'm going to tell my wife. She's going to see this. She's going to see this.
Just don't tell Gloria. She'll be so upset. I use the app, though.
Yeah.
Huge fan of Techni Football.
That I do not. I will not. I refuse to. It involves exercise. Not a fan. When you look at how your career is progressing, right? Dude, you went from like writing about soccer to being in front of the camera everyone's next step, and this obviously many years away, but behind the camera, dude, like, are you going to maybe get an opportunity to make suggestions about some of the content that you can make, and what are some of the ideas that you have? Like, what's, if you could, what would you do now that you have the engine at CBS that you haven't had anywhere? I mean, this is Viacom we're talking about, you know what I mean? You know, it's a big old machine. Like, what are some of the things that you would love to do?
Yeah, one of the important things that I wanted to do in my next gig after Turner was have a little bit of like say in the content I make, a little bit of say in the strategy. So I will be involved with the CBS like social strategy, the strategy for how we talk about Champions League, for how we talk about these players, these clubs. So that's something that like it's one of those things where when I was younger, like I didn't want any responsibility. I just wanted to do my thing. I don't want you to leave me alone. And I like, that, I love being a writer. Like I would literally, I was in LA, like I would come in half, like I would go into the office like 2-3 days a week, 4 days a week. I'd work from home. I work for my boxers. Like I wear my boxers. Like I wouldn't answer to anyone except I just do my stuff and get out. But the older I get, like the more I feel like I'm black in this business where there are not many black people. I am colored in this business where there's not many colored people. And so I feel kind of like not kind of I feel like I have a responsibility to create space for people behind me, to make space for people who talk like me, who look like me, who don't necessarily fit the like traditional, quote unquote, structure of media. I think I like very strongly believe I have a responsibility to make that path. And for our strategy, for the way that we talk about this game in this country. Specifically the way we talk about it at CBS, like that's a massive goal for me is to just continue to create space for people who look like us, talk like us, think like us, because that's the future. That's the future of this country. That's the future of this game.
If things are going right, it's the future.
I mean, to be honest, like even if they're not, like the numbers don't lie. It is the future. Whether the establishment wants to accept it or not, like they can't do anything about it. The good thing is that I feel really like empowered by CBS to make that happen, to kind of push everything forward. CBS was like very open in talking. They're like, they were like, we haven't done soccer in 30 something years, but the way that they approach this is they want to get the best people. They want to learn. They always want to move forward. So I'm really excited to be part of that process. I'm excited to help CBS move forward and help just this country move forward, like with the sport and with media representation and everything, man. That's my goal, is just keep pushing everything forward.
Yeah. Look, I think a lot of people, including myself and Alexis, we see you as this, not necessarily, you know, you mentioned about having this responsibility to kind of be that representation, but it's, you know, for us as well, right? Like we kind of vibe off each other. Like I see you, whether it's a tweet, whether it's like, you know, putting your own spin or take on a goal or a game or anything, it does feel like, oh, I wish there were more black voices within this game, because especially in this country, there's just like it's so different than Europe, right? Where it's just like there's teams, you know, there's everyone on the England national team is black. Well, I mean, you know, not everybody literally, but you know what I mean. It's just like the way the hip hop community, let's say in England, soccer is it's as normal to talk about in the same sentence to talk about hip hop and soccer. But here it would be very strange when people are uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, yo, why you bring up soccer when I'm just trying to talk about my top five rappers?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Aaron, you're one of 47 people that get our hip hop references, you know what I mean? In the soccer media world. Yeah. You know, it's like a very different world. But when we started, we specifically said, like, we want to open the doors for the people that talk like us and act like us and think like us, because they weren't in soccer. And a lot of the people that we spoke to when we started were like, well, no one was doing that, so I didn't think there was a place. And it's like, so we'll start doing it. And it's great to see that you're also just like, nah, let me open them doors.
And I want to add this as well, because I don't want to cut you off. Are you going to say something?
Oh, no, you're good. That's why we kind of vibed. I like, as soon as I met you guys, I was like, this is it. Like, this is what I'm talking about, is people who like talk like me, think like me, are minorities in this space. Like, and when I it's one of those things where when I talk to people who don't like soccer, I want to be able to talk. When I tweet about soccer, when I talk about soccer, I want anyone to be able to be like, oh, that's dope. I understand that. Like, I don't want to use language that like excludes people. Yeah. The way that I talk about the game is that like, if you have eyes, or if you can get this information somewhere, you don't even have to have eyes. However you get the information, yeah. I want you to be able to empathize with it. I want you to like rock with this. Like, I don't want you to feel left out of this sport just because you didn't grow up with it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a significant part, because especially in this country, there's a lot of people who maybe have family that liked it, but didn't get a chance to really get involved in the sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was the opportunities.
The other thing I want to add as well, and give you more praise, is obviously you are married to someone who played on the U.S. women's national team, but you also worked on the World Cup coverage last year for the Women's World Cup. And that was also, you know, the last time you
hold
were
on, that was last year? That feels like that was 50 years ago.
I was like, I literally, like, when he was like, last year, I was like, you sure, bro?
Oh my god.
I think Christian has a dramatic brain injury. Like, that was not last year.
Yeah.
Like Charlie Murphy. That was weeks ago. Rick James, that was weeks ago, Charlie. Dude, I was partying.
2020 might be the longest decade of all time.
Oh my god.
And you are an advocate and a supporter of soccer, regardless of the gender that is playing the game. And you obviously you have a daughter. Clearly she is going to be indoctrinated, and that's why we appreciate it, but we need it, but it's all good. But the what was covering that World Cup like, from the sense of, you know, it's also like being a fan of the game, being a fan of women playing the game, and being a man doing that, like it, and being a black man doing that, like people see that and there's like, okay, I'm not one, you know, they might be shocked by the you know, whatever, any preconceived notions they had about women playing the game, but then just having you as an arbiter kind of talking about the game, what was that, you know, quote unquote responsibility, and then how fun was it as well?
Yeah, man, that was really, really exciting for me, because like you said, like I've been a fan of just soccer forever. Like, I grew up in Chapel Hill, so I grew up in the home of like women's soccer, basically. I grew up like going to the UNC women's games. I lived 5-10 minutes from the training field. When I would go out and train, like UNC would be out there training. I like trained with some of the women's players growing up. Like, I've always had a like really, really strong appreciation and love for overall soccer, but especially women's soccer. I've always had that appreciation. I've always followed the game. And then just like kind of through the years, it just like kept growing and growing. Like, I just followed the game. I became friends with players. I started dating a player on the team. Living in Chapel Hill, like a lot of these UNC players end up going to the national team, end up being pros. So just like being in Chapel Hill for years, I met and became friends with a lot of them. So I was just like very steeped in the women's soccer world already. And then to get the opportunity to work with Fox for the World Cup was massive, because I didn't have a job at the time. I had left COPA. I was like, I was freelancing, and that was a big opportunity for me. The opportunity to be able to talk about the women's game on a massive stage like that was huge. And to be able to kind of just bring my excitement that I've always had for it, and to translate that to other people, and to let, like, the biggest thing is soccer is a beautiful sport. There are some differences, like in most women can't dunk in the WNBA. So people try to say it's a different sport, but women's soccer and men's soccer are two of the most analogous with both genders, like two of the most analogous sports there are. Like, there is no difference almost. Skill is skill. Like, and the fact that people try to deny that women's soccer is a skilled sport, it just blows my mind in general. But one of the biggest things about women's soccer is it needs exposure. It needs people to see it so that they can give people money, so that you can put more money in the game so it continues to get better. That's how things work. When you put more into it and their stakes are higher, things get better in general. So you've seen more money going into the women's game. You're seeing players getting better on a regular basis. You're seeing incredible products. So for me, going back to like be able to showcase that at the Women's World Cup with some of the, especially with the level of talent that was at that World Cup, like the games were incredible. The atmosphere was incredible. Being able to like be part of that. And at this point, especially, like I'm I was pretty good friends with a few players on the national team. So it was really interesting for me to like be talking to them through the tournament. And especially like one of my really good friends is Crystal Dunn. And for her, like it was, I had a massive personal stake in that one for me. Like it, she's like my sister. And because she missed the previous World Cup, because there was so much talk about her playing out of position, so much talk about like, is she a striker? Is she a defender? Like, where does she fit? Like, she's been overlooked. Like, there were like, I, every time she played, like, I think I was like probably just as nervous as like her blood family. So for me, watching that team, like with the people that I knew, with Megan Rapinoe, with Alex Morgan, all those people that I've known for like a decade, to see them go through all that, see the media and Donald Trump and everyone like slate them so much and come through that adversity, and then being able to be part of it at the same time, like, that was incredible. Like, one of the coolest moments of my entire life was being able to stand on the field, like, right after they won. There's a moment when, like, Jess McDonald's, like, she's got, like, the flag, she's dancing, and she, like, spots me on the field, and she comes running over, because she was on our show for Copa 90, like, literally, I think, 4 months before, and she didn't think she was going to make the squad. And then, like, she comes running over, she was like, I didn't think I was going to be here. And like, yeah, it was like one of the coolest moments I've ever had. Like, she just won the World Cup. She came over to be like, yo, I did not think I was going to be here. Can you believe this? Like, that was everything, man. And I got the whole damn World Cup afterwards. Like, cause I'm good friends with Aaron Heifetz, who's like the media officer for US soccer. So I was like in the tunnel afterwards, and he's there, like everyone's celebrating. He's like, hey man, can hold the trophy. And I was like, Yeah.
After they woke you up, like, do you still want to hold the trophy? You fell, dude.
All right, we got much more left with Aaron West. Please come right back.
Hi, this is NWSL legend Yael Averbush.
And I'm her husband, Aaron West.
And we wanted to congratulate the Cooligans on 100 episodes on the Fubo Sports Network.
Hi, I'm Gloria Averbush, soccer mom, soccer author, Cooligans fan. Thanks for all the laughs in the fandom. Keep the gully going.
Stay going.
That is incredible.
All right, welcome back, everybody. That was obviously
you just got Gloria bombed.
So absurd, I love it so much.
Obviously, when this originally happened, when we originally saw this, this was obviously great. Thank you so much for doing this.
This is great.
Kind of celebrating 100 episodes. But what was whose idea was the have Gloria pop out on screen? What was okay? Yeah.
You know what? I felt that in my soul that this was
Gloria's
a Gloria
idea.
Direct
100% Gloria's idea.
Decision.
this was a Gloria production. So let me break down how this worked. This day we were like we had hired a photographer to do like maternity photos. I was like, I feel like I should for like once, like do like a real traditional thing. And like, we should get pictures. And I was like, all right, yeah, let's do it. So we went out, we were there for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours. And right at the end, I was like, we got to do this thing for the Cooligans. Let's film it. And Gloria was out there. She was taking care of the dog. And, Gloria and Paul were like taking care of the dog and helping us out with the shoot. And, so they're like, yeah, we got to do this. Like, yeah, and her mom were like, how do we get you working? And Gloria was like, I got the idea. I'm going to pop up at the end. And so we shot it like probably two or three times. I was so tired by it. Because you guys know me. Yeah. I don't love people. I don't love being outside. We'd been out for like 2-3 hours. I was hungry. And I was like, all right, we're going to shoot this. I love the Cooligans, but let's get this stuff quickly. So like we go into it, and two times she like pops up so early. Like, she like pops her head up. She's like, I'm Gloria Averbush. She's not like Gloria. Time was charm though. We knocked it out perfectly.
It was incredible.
She was so excited to do this for you guys. It was
incredible.
She's
the best. She is the best.
Keep the gully going has been, I tell myself that every morning.
It should be like on a scarf.
Yeah, 100%. Was this shot Branchwood Park, going. By the way?
Yes.
Was that Branchwood Park? Yes.
Okay. All right.
That's right.
Sure. Yeah,
that's why I played
Jersey,
baseball growing up.
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing I wanted, before we wrap up, I wanted to talk to you about this because you are a... You are my FIFA Ultimate Team guru, okay? Yeah. You are.
You mean he's the only person between the three of us who knows anything about FIFA Ultimate Team.
I started playing FIFA Ultimate Team during like the beginning of the lockdown. I had never
I told
ever
you not
played
to do it,
before.
By the
I didn't
way.
Really
it's
even
on
understand.
Wax that I told you,
you
not
told
to,
me
do.
to do it. And look, and now I got all these needle marks on my arm.
And he's stealing his mom's credit card to buy players.
I need FIFA points, mom. Anyway, but you, I love the way you talk about your experience with FIFA because it is not only is it entertaining. You don't even like you do stream from time to time, but I just love your Twitter account about FIFA Ultimate Team because you focus so much on like getting players and things like that. And
but he
and
also
the
treats
transfer
it like-
market.
He also treats it the way like single women in their 20s treat like dating apps. It's like I'm deleting it. I'm yeah. done. And then like, you know what? I'm back.
Okay.
I'm lonely. I need something.
I tried to be with me. What I couldn't.
I dated myself and we just broke up. I'm back in.
What is the emotional experience like for you with FIFA? Because I know for me it is like a way to like get away from it all, but then sometimes FIFA is it all, you know what I mean? And it's frustrating.
FIFA is my the best way to put it is it's my main competitive outlet. Like I don't play anymore. I can't play pickup right now, so I like can't go outside and just kick the shit out of someone. I can't like walk down the street and like I am an insanely competitive person, and so I have to be like competing at something on a regular basis. And I don't play my friends at things. I don't compete with my friends. I don't compete with Yael in general over things because I'm a terrible loser. I'm like, I'm wildly competitive. And I'm like the type of person that like, when I beat you, I want to like make you feel it. And like, so I'm a bad winner. I'm a terrible loser. I'm a bad winner. So I like, I know this about myself. So I do not like compete with friends. So for me, Ultimate Team is that outlet. Like that's my, where I get my competitiveness. Like it's, I'm obsessed with soccer and I love like squad building in general. So like I was always obsessed with Football Manager, still love Football Manager, but now with Ultimate Team I like get that ability to like build squads and do that, but I also get to play with them. So it's like it's kind of all wrapped up, so I can like get the competitiveness out, I can like build my squads, I can have fun. And I've always loved FIFA just in general. And plus it like it works for work, like it's part of my content creation now, so it's kind of like everything. But the bad part about it is because I'm so competitive, because I'm like very obsessive about things, wildly obsessive about things, and I'm a terrible loser. Like you're gonna lose in FIFA. Like that's how it works. Like you're just gonna lose. And so I have like had to work with myself to like manage the addiction and like not play too often, like not play certain game. Like I rarely play weekend league. I backslid this weekend and played. But I like, if I ever feel like
relapse,
bro, I relapse. I relapse. I had to turn in my shit, bro. I had to turn my weekend league shit. I'm starting out.
We
gotta
get you a FIFA therapist.
Honestly,
that's what we
need. I do. Like it's like, especially it's gotten a lot worse. Like, well, technically it's gotten better because I used to be way worse. I used to get real, real pissed off, and now I'm like, I've got a kid. I'm like a little bit older. I'm happier in my job. So I don't like need FIFA to like make me happy. Now it's just it's a straight
less
like,
responsibility you put on a video game shoulders. Very nice of you.
Exactly.
All right. We did it again. Another episode in the book. Thank you so much, Aaron West, for joining us. I mean, it's a shame we can't do this in person. We're long overdue for
also,
a hug.
This didn't even feel like TV. It felt like finally hanging out again. So it was great.
Exactly. Aaron, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Two things. First of all, when I see you guys, I'm going to kiss you both in the mouth.
Let's go. Three-way kiss. Three-way kiss.
Yeah, dude. Spaghetti in between all of them.
Just like all kinds of tongue.
Yeah, I was just holding the baby like, did something just happen?
What happened? What did I miss? No, it's always a pleasure being on with you boys. I love what you're doing. Keep doing it. Do not stop. Yeah, right now I am working with La Liga. I'm working with CBS. You can find all my La Liga stuff on the La Liga socials at La Liga. CBS. I'll be on CBS HQ. I'll be on CBS All Access. I'll be on CBS TV. Whenever I start doing stuff, which will be very soon. On socials, you can find me on Twitter at Oeste, O-E-S-T-E, and on Instagram at AYYY_West, A-E West. And again, man, I appreciate you guys so much. This was so much fun. I can't wait to do it again.
Nah, man, that's great. Brother,
thank you so much. All right, and everybody, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Follow at Fubo Sports on all socials. Make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program, our program, and other programs.
It's getting huge.
As well, exactly. Yes, they're doing some great work. All right, so let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Aaron West, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!